Hey, Virtue Girls, welcome back to the Virtue Podcast. If you've been following along, we have been in the Book of Revelation and we just wrapped that up, so we're on a brief hiatus before we jump into the Book of Acts. And this summer, we're taking a quick detour to have some of our Virtue Girls record podcasts on a variety of interesting topics. But before we get to ours, let's do some intros. My name is Wendy McGinnis, and today you get not one, but two Virtue Girls in the sound booth. I'm particularly excited because I have the privilege of sharing my mother-in-law, Sandra McGinnis, with each of you. I believe that you're in for a real treat because Sandra is a true expert on this topic.
Ooh,
there's a little teaser for you. Yes, a little pressure. Sandra, would you mind telling the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi, ladies. May I first start off by saying what an honor it is being with you today and my darling daughter-in-law, Wendy. What an answer to my nightly prayers you have been. Please relax, ladies, and sip on an iced tea while you listen. Well, they say I'm a senior citizen in terms of my age, but I'm young and fun at heart. Do I hear an amen to that from some of you older ladies? I've been married to Doug for 41 years, have two children and five grandchildren, ages ranging from 18 to 9. I love to have people in my home, play games, and also garden.
She is a jack of all trades. Okay, do I dare admit my stats? I'm getting to the stage where I've started to round my age to the nearest decade. So I'm a mom in my late 30s with two kids, age 9 and 11. We've homeschooled our kids for the last 4 years, long before homeschooling became all the rage in 2020. I feel like I genuinely have gotten some serious street cred with some other moms after they personally experienced homeschool because there are some serious highs and lows. But that's a whole different podcast. I've been married to Sandra's son, Matt, for almost 16 years. I'm still not sure how that's possible. It's been 16 years.
Me too.
I know. It's been a long...
15 years.
Yes, it's gone by so quick, but that's so long. I'm powered by sugar, fitness, and Jesus.
Good combination.
Yes, because one counters the other, and the other is the giver of life. So that's me in a nutshell.
Love it.
After we... Hearing our brief bios, girls, can you guess our topic? Sandra, what are we talking about today?
Are we learning how to be a gracious winner? Oh, just kidding. Well, you know how I love to play games, and we are very competitive. But anyway, seriously, ladies, we are chatting about one of my passions, and that is the value of mentoring relationships, where we can have teachable hearts, we can humble ourselves, and hopefully gain God's wisdom in our walk with Him. Mentoring, for us, more mature ladies, helps us to stay involved and current as we speak truth into the lives of the younger generation.
Yeah, so we titled our podcast, Grow With Me, Investing Purposefully in the Next Generation. And as we chat, we want you to consider mentoring from both the mentor and the mentee perspective. We can and should be both. The Bible instructs us to reach out from both sides of the relationship. I love the verse Proverbs 11:14. It says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Sandra, why do you think that the term mentoring sounds so daunting?
I don't even think mentoring should be daunting at all. You know, actually, mentoring is really an opportunity to come alongside someone younger and share your life experiences from a godly perspective. It is important to remember as a mentor that our trials in life aren't meant to be wasted. They give us an opportunity to impart what we've learned from the hardships we've endured. I call it life rubbing off on life. But in Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Yeah, I love what you said there, that it's life rubbing off on life, and sometimes hardships can feel valuable and useful when you can then share that with someone else and help them through their process. And I know for me personally, I feel like mentoring sounds so daunting because it's just kind of an intimidating thing to think about asking someone to be your mentor. I know for me personally, when I was in the working world, I had no problem asking people to be my mentors because I got one in probably every area of the business, marketing and sales and HR, because I really did believe that that would help me work smarter and harder. But when it came to motherhood, for some reason, I kind of became less focused and less intentional about reaching out to mentors. And I just wanted to say that because for those of you who are listening who feel like you're lacking in this department, take comfort in knowing that none of us have this fully mastered. If anything, preparing for this podcast gave me a new excitement for mentorship. you know, I was talking to a friend and said, you know, do you have any spiritual mentors? And she said, no, I really would like one, but I just feel awkward seeking someone out. And it feels really vulnerable to put yourself out there and ask someone for guidance.
Right. I understand that. But I think we need to be intentional about making mentoring a priority in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, as a new believer, I was asking myself questions like, how can I live a life of holiness? How do I put God first? How do I yield to the power of the Holy Spirit? That was a big question coming from a very strong-willed 19-year-old like myself. What does forgiveness look like? Am I waiting and wanting God's best in my relationships? How can I grow into becoming a more gracious person? How can I be serving and meeting the needs of others? Who can I turn to for all of this guidance?
Yeah, I just think that's a great gut check because we do invest in what matters to us, and nothing grows without time, attention, and effort. The only exception to that is weeds, and we definitely don't want weeds growing in our figurative garden. And so I think that that just is an excellent point to say. If you care about the mentoring, you do have to reach out and be vulnerable and ask. You know, in Proverbs 19, 20 through 21, it says, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days.
So good.
Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Mm-hmm. You know, I found this definition of mentoring that kind of helped simplify the idea for me. It says that mentoring is to support and encourage people to manage their own learning in order that they may maximize their potential, develop their skills, improve their performance, and become the person they want to be. Mm. When you hear that definition, good. Sandra, it feels a little more manageable. What has mentoring looked like in your life?
Well, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at 19 years old, I was really blessed. The Lord provided me right off the bat with three godly women. One was Margaret, who I met and saw at my workplace. Our relationship started by having regular lunches together. She was old enough to be my grandmother, and I just soaked up her life skills like a sponge. And then when Doug and I started to date, Dottie, his mom, invited me to do a Bible study. 43 years later, I still marvel at her grace, insight, and wisdom. She's amazing, isn't she?
Mm, she is.
Then when I was a young mom, I was discipled by a gal named Sharon Kay, and she was a woman I met in my church. Every week, she so faithfully taught us for 9 months. I would come dragging in my sweats, no makeup, mm-hmm. hair in a bun, you know those days, and just sit around her dining room table and learn and soak up all the godly principles and things that she taught us. She taught us to choose to honor God. She encouraged us not to live to impress others, but to live to please the Lord. How to live a life of surrender to the Lord. You know, mentorship doesn't have to be defined by age. One of my newer hobbies is gardening, and my sweet younger neighbor taught me how to get started with that.
Yeah, I think that you make such a great point. Like, mentorship can be formal. It could be with one person, or it can be you reaching out to a variety of people. We can have different mentors for different areas. Like Sandra had mentioned, we can have a mentor for prayer, for marriage, for motherhood, for relationships. We may get lucky and find a wise woman who can speak into all those areas, but if not, we have the opportunity to cast our nets wide. And as I prepared for this podcast, I began to think of mentors as our anchors. I definitely need like word pictures because I'm simple-minded. And the anchor just really spoke to me because when we get into deep waters, it's important to have relationships that we can turn to that can handle the waves of life. Anchors, if you think about them, are strong, they're dependable, they're built for storms. They are needed in deep waters. We don't go on an extended boat trip without an anchor. We always should have one available and accessible, and that's how I think of mentors. You don't want to wait until you're in deep waters to then try to reach out and find someone. You want to have a growing relationship that has depth, that when in crisis, they know you, they can speak truth mm-hmm. and life into you, and they can be available. And I think that what's so sweet
good.
About the ones that you shared was these ladies were committed. They were meeting
yes.
with you weekly. Mm-hmm. They were available to you. And they were true anchors in your life that have still meaning to you now. You think so sweetly back on your time spent with Sharon Kay and and Margaret, and of course Mimi, who we get to still enjoy, you know. So
yes.
Just such a gift that these women gave to you. So we want to kind of dive into the scripture portion of our message. And many of you have likely heard Titus 2, or maybe you've heard the Titus 2 principle. And for you newer Christians, you might think, what is the Titus 2 principle? So that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time. So if you're taking notes, we want you to grab your pen and turn to Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. And Sandra is going to read this passage for all of you multitasking listeners who are doing laundry or cleaning dishes or all those things that we have to do, but this helps pass the time. Sandra, would you mind reading to them?
Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God.
Sandra, don't you feel like it's so amazing that we have the Word of God that is our handbook? I mean, they are giving us specific instruction on how to live a life that is worthy of our calling and just one that is pleasing to the Lord. So this scripture is action-packed. And so what we want to do is just kind of break it down verse by verse. And you can see that the overarching distinct message in this passage is that women should be teaching women. We are called to be teachers of good things. And some of these categories are going to come naturally to us. And then some of them are going to take more effort and more intentionality. And we will get to those girls and you probably will know which ones we're talking about. but this is where I become Oprah, because I'm going to just start asking Sandra her expertise and her experience in each of these categories. And I want you to consider it a sneak preview into what a meeting with an anchor would look like. This is practical application of Titus 2 and hopefully just a teaser of what this could be if you were to reach out to an anchor in your life. And I think you're going to find this so valuable. I know as you prepared, it just helped me shift my mindset in each of these categories. So let's get started. Verse 3, it starts off by encouraging us to be reverent in our behavior. It specifically mentions gossip and self-discipline. And you can really take self-discipline a lot of different directions, whether it's your spending, your health, your drinking or coping habits, your worldly consumption. I feel like you could go a lot of different directions, and we only have so much time. So, Sandra, when we are talking about reverent behavior, what stood out to you?
Well, reverence is one's conduct. So the Bible tells us to be models of goodness. But I find that one of the traps we as women can fall into is gossiping, right? Gossiping is slandering another's reputation. I think we've all been hurt and we understand what gossip is. Oftentimes, we are tempted to talk about others because we are insecure. But instead, decide to see others and ourselves as God sees us. I know this is hard when we are in a group chatting. We love to chat, don't we, ladies?
Yes, we do.
But I oftentimes will excuse myself or change the subject, or say something I like about the person when in the middle of a conversation that has become gossipy. We are called in Colossians 4:6 to be gracious in our speech. The goal is to bring out the best about others in a conversation. As far as self-discipline, woo, this is a doozy one. At the beginning of each year, I choose a word or character trait that I want to work on. This year, my focus word is to being a better listener. This has been a huge, huge challenge for me.
I think that gossip is such a sneaky one because oftentimes we don't go into conversations with the intention or motive to gossip about someone else. And then it can quickly get there for a variety of reasons. Like you said, maybe it's because of our insecurities or maybe because you have nothing to talk about of value. Like women are, we're wordy, we're communicators, but sometimes we can get into these traps where they're not edifying to the Lord or kind to others. And so I think that it's no mistake that this was included in Titus 2, because it is a trouble area for a lot of us from time to time. And I think you gave such practical tips on how to avoid it. Even your focus word of just being a listener. You don't have to participate. You can excuse yourself, like you said. You can change the subject. I think we have to model this for the young girls in our lives because they are listening. And I just know that my young daughter of 9, I'm constantly talking to her about the traps of just being the female gender. We want to sometimes be only friends with one person, or we don't want to be inclusive, or you end up talking about other girls, or you hurt someone's feelings and you need to go apologize. Like, there's so many things that we need to be modeling for them so that they can see the right way to deal with self-discipline and not hurting other people's feelings.
That's so good, Wendy, that you're talking about it with Momo ahead of time. I think it's so important. I know, having a daughter of my own, it's something that we need to be conscious of and really nip in the bud right away, because boy, it can
get ugly, huh?
Yes, and it could be damaging, because we talk about that with our kids. You can't take words back. You can apologize, but you can't take them back. Right. And so that's just
the reason.
I think there's
a Bible verse, isn't there, about being slow to speak, quick to listen. There's a reason why we need to be slow to speak.
Yes, right? I think there's another Proverbs that talks about, you know, how your tongue can be cutting. You know, there are so many Proverbs in there because they know that tongue of ours gets us into trouble. Yes. Okay, so there's so much we could go to on that, but I want to move us forward because this is one of my favorite conversations to have with Sandra and other anchors. Is in verse 4, we're talking about loving your husband, and we could do an entire podcast on this topic alone. And marriage is so amazing, but on the tough days, if we're being real and all honest and vulnerable, it can feel like work. And Sandra's been married for pretty much forever, so we want to ask her, the expert, who I think you said over 40 years, what are some tips you have for loving your husband well?
Now, this is a loaded question,
kind of.
So thanks for asking it. But ladies, don't we all know what makes our husbands tick or ticked?
Yes.
Right? So this can be a very long list, but I tried just to kind of shorten it a little bit and maybe list a couple things. But I would say to communicate well and to be a good listener and to give yourselves 15 minutes of uninterrupted time just to talk to your husband.
And that sounds like it would be easy, but Sandra,
it
is so hard. I feel like in the day where we're rushing from one thing to the next, I was telling her as we talked about this, you can easily slip into a roommate relationship with your spouse because you're just managing logistics. And so to really be disciplined about that 15 minutes a day, it could be such a fantastic practice that would be filling your cup and enough if you just were consistent with it.
Absolutely. And how often do we, when our husbands come home, we want to run to him and tell him about all the problems of the day, right?
Yep.
And here they're just coming home. They want to unwind and kind of regroup. And so I think it's just really important. I think sometimes when Doug comes home, I just like to have some cheese and crackers waiting for him and just kind of let him just kind of take a deep breath, but just so in a sweet way, just kind of communicate about the day. We're lucky because we're empty nesters, so we have more time. But even if it's after the kids go to bed at night, just to give yourselves that 15 minutes. Hey, honey, tell me about your day today, right?
That's so good.
I think then also we need to live selflessly. Boy, this is a hard one too, right? Thinking of others before ourselves. And then use the words of affirmation that speak life into our husbands. How about saying, I love you often, right? My husband loves to hear that. I think it's also important that we laugh together and we share fun memories. Sometimes we can be so negative, but it's really, really awesome just to laugh at ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And laugh with each other. And I think this is something, too, the next one that Doug and I have really had to grow into doing together, and that's pray together. This grows us both spiritually and then also just spiritually, our intimacy with each other. So I like to ask Doug, how can I pray for you during the day, right? Mm-hmm. And then ask for prayer for myself, for what's going on in my day. That's a really good way to start our day together. The next one is to don't let the word divorce ever enter your vocabulary. This is huge, especially if you are having a little tiff, right?
Yeah.
I've heard it said that a loved spouse will love you back.
Oh my goodness, those were all so good. And I'm over here nodding in agreement, and you girls are probably, as you listen, nodding and saying amen as well. It's not my mind that challenges these things, because in my head I know all of these things are great and I should be doing them. It's my will and my selfishness that can get in the way. And I think you can fall into that trap of becoming a scorekeeper and tally all the things that I'm doing for Matt. But rather than doing that, I need to worry about myself and intentionally look for ways to show him love, respect, and service. And then it has that positive spiral. Like you said, like when a spouse is feeling loved, he's going to love in return, he or she. And so if we can just be looking for the things that are blessings to us rather than the things that frustrate us,
yes,
we are going to be so much happier in our marriages because we have that choice and our attitude impacts our dynamic. And I've just kind of learned over and over again that my tone and my timing are everything.
Oh, yes.
I know that.
Tone and timing. Oh, the two T's.
I think all of us women can agree. Our tone can just set them off. Like she said, they can make them tick or make them ticked. And I know what I'm doing when I'm doing it sometimes. And I just need to be more intentional about even asking maybe if there's another time that we can talk about something, because sometimes the timing's off for me, because if I'm stressed and overwhelmed with kids and household and life, a big conversation might not be a good time for me, but instead I kind of just respond in the moment, mm-hmm, and not a great call.
Yep. So, yep. So. I will mention something about that later on. Yeah. But timing is so, so important. You're right.
Yes.
And also, I think to not be ruled by our emotions, mm-hmm, right? Women, gosh, we can just get so worked up about something. And so to learn to, not have our emotions control us.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Okay, so I feel like we have a wide variety of listeners in different age demographics and married and not married. So I wanted you just to give us a tip for different categories. So first one, a tip for a bride-to-be.
Oh, what bride-to-be. Gosh, what a fun time, right? Mm-hmm. To be single again. I think I would say to pray and ask the Lord for discernment. This is a really important time that you're having in your life in who you are going to choose to marry, if you choose to marry. And also, I would just say to work on taming your tongue. I wish I had learned this nugget of truth before I was married.
Yeah, just all the things that you could prepare on yourself,
yes,
before entering,
yes,
marriage would just make it so much smoother.
Yes.
That's a good one. How about for a new wife?
Well, this one is a doozy for me because I tried to change my husband after, poor Doug, I tried to change him after we were married. But don't try to do that. You know, be an encourager and say thank you often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look for the positive. And he's new at being a husband too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like we're new at being a wife. So be an encourager to him.
Yeah, I think that when you mentioned that, it made me think, you know, like when we're doing dishes or cleaning the house, we kind of think this is such a thankless job. And then when someone thanks us, we're just like, oh, I'm seen. They recognize that I'm working hard. And then I think, you know, how often am I doing that for my husband who goes to work diligently and serves us by providing for us so consistently? Like, how often are we saying thank you? I send him texts, but I think I need to verbalize that more too. And just the whole respect component. I respect you and all that you do for our family. And I think verbalizing it more than we do is probably always a good idea.
Right. I remember one time when the kids were little and life was just so crazy, right? I felt like, Doug, we were just trudging along, right? And so one night I decided I had the kids decorate the table and write little notes and colors and just thank Daddy for his hard work,
yeah,
right? And I wanted to acknowledge that he knew that we weren't taking him for granted, that,
mm-hmm,
that it was just a fun evening looking back on it.
Yes. And I think, like you said, something about that earlier of, like, speaking well of your husband to others. I do that to my kids often, too, because I want them to hear and verbalize what a great dad that we have. And in our prayers, we're always saying thank you that he's working hard for our family. Because that's not just an expectation that everyone has. And so we want to praise them for that. And then the last category, a wife who may need some encouragement to keep it fresh.
Yes. Well, Doug's love language is words of affirmation. So I work hard on this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I love to do is compliment him in public.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's so important, and I see the look on his face, and it's just so affirming to him. Also, I love to flirt with him. It's okay. Remember when
mm-hmm.
you were dating, and
yes.
you would be that little flirt? It's fun to flirt, and be fun. Be his recreational partner. Kind of be mysterious in some ways. I just think it's fun, and we have so many things we can do to keep it fresh and alive and fun and not get in a rut.
Yeah. I think I want a whole podcast on that.
That would be interesting.
I think that's a good one because something I truly admire about Doug and Sandra is that they do, they're so affectionate and loving, and it's just encouraging and motivating to all those that witness their marriage, because we do want to be an example to non-believers and to those that are in our communities of what a Christian marriage could look like. It can be fun. It can be flirtatious. It doesn't have to be stale and rigid. Like, you can really exemplify what a fantastic marriage looks like. We want to make this an appealing thing, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So many marriage tips. Phew. I wish we could go further on that, but let's move on to the portion of scripture that brings kids into the mix. And I don't think it's by accident that it is in this order. It talks about self-discipline, and then it talks about loving your husband first, and then it brings in the kids. And I think sometimes as young moms, and I fall into this trap too, I can rearrange that order from day to day or from hour to hour or minute to minute, but we need to always have our husbands come first and then our children come next. And
yes.
So here's where we're going to get into that, Sandra. I think loving my children comes naturally to me. It's the patience and consistency piece that is a day-to-day struggle. So how would you encourage moms to stay calm through frustration?
Well, I would just say to be patient with ourselves and with our kids, right? I know this is super hard, especially when you have a strong-willed child. Believe me, I know I had two of them.
So that means
I was
I'm
two for
to
two.
One.
Yes, you are married to one. Yes, he's very strong-willed. I'm sure you know that by now. You know, I love what Ann Voskamp says, and she says, "Be impatient, and you drive a wedge between you and the comfort of the Holy Spirit." Also, much suffering comes from much impatience. You know, sometimes we just need to give ourselves a time out. Go to the bathroom or the closet. Who was it that pulled her apron over her head with all of her children? We just need to take time to calm down and not be ruled by our emotions. Pray and get our emotions in check. Remember, most things are caught and they're not taught, so we need to model this kind of behavior for our children. Also, look for ways to apply grace as a teachable moment with our children. We are going to teach them by giving them grace how God is gracious to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's just so many layers to that. I think things that stood out, and you've kind of spoke this into me and just my mothering along the way, is just modeling the taking of timeouts. Asking for forgiveness. We call it a new beginning in our in our family. And let me tell you, we have had a lot of new beginnings as we've homeschooled for the last 4 years. I'm going to say and admit that I am very good at modeling apologies and asking for forgiveness. But hopefully the kids will look back at the season and not remember, you know, the frustration moments, but really remember the forgiveness moments. And I kind of pray daily that the Lord will fill those gaps and extend grace to their memory and to my memory of just the hard times. But I think you're right. Like, as young moms, we can be so hard on ourselves, and you can focus on the things that you did poorly in the day, rather than focusing on, you know, the blessings or the things that went well. And so I think that grace component is huge when you're in those young mothering years.
Yes, absolutely.
The verse that kind of speaks to me there is, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And that's Ephesians 4:2. And I think if we can just kind of have that be as our family verse, I kind of am inspired by that. Maybe making that our family verse, because it's the frustration comes out of not making allowances for other people's mistakes or faults or failures. So that's a tough one. I think, again, we could probably do a whole another 20 minutes on just that. But we want to keep trekking along. The next one is in verse 5. It's encouraging us to live wisely and be pure. Sandra, you can go in so many different directions with this one. What would you want to tell the younger generation on how to live wisely and be pure?
Do I dare address busyness?
I think you should. Go
oh,
there.
Ouch. I feel we need to closely examine our time commitments and schedules. Asking ourselves, am I overcommitted? Am I getting enough rest? We can be too busy doing so many good things.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think that when you think about living wisely, it's oftentimes about trade-off choices, right? And
right.
So what am I going to exchange for the thing that I'm saying yes to. And I think in this generation, in this season, we want to say yes to everything. We live a life of overcommitment, and that's not always the wise thing to do, right?
Yeah, no. Sometimes we need to say a no to something good for the better good, right?
Yeah. And then there's a component of purity. I think that that is a really tough one for our younger adults that are maybe listening. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who are raising children, maybe talk a little bit about purity.
Well, to the single ladies out there, I would say to be intentional, to be intentional about placing guardrails up and setting boundaries concerning your sexual purity. You know, when we were raising our children, we would often say to them that while they are dating someone's future spouse, that they need to be respectful. So you need to establish your sexual boundaries before the date.
Yeah, I think just looking back and in Matt and I's dating relationship and just watching how you guys parented through purity and letting them have, you know, the long leash because we were young adults, but then also really speaking to the importance of purity and, you know, waiting until marriage. I think that was a great gift that you gave to me through Matt, because he had that as a set expectation that we had before we even started dating. It was something that we talked about. And so I think for young adults who are kind of just exposed to everything right now, everything seems acceptable, and there's no boundaries and there's no hedges. And I think if they can kind of determine in their mind that they are going to put those hedges of protection up, then it's not going to be a negotiable thing when they're in the heat of the moment, just not even allowing yourself to be in the heat of the moment. And so I think that the live wisely and be pure can be so many different layers, but I just think you hit on a really applicable one for just this generation that we have coming up. It is definitely not easy.
Yeah. And to the married gals, I would say erect hedges of protection around your marriage. Mm-hmm. Discuss them with your husband. Wendy, you and Matt have a great example of hedge setting.
Yeah, and I think because I traveled so much prior to having kids, we really wanted to be clear about what we thought was acceptable and what would maybe be a trap that we didn't even know or think of or consider as a trap. So we would never do one-on-one dinners with the opposite sex, or when it comes to texting, even if it's one of Matt's friends, I always have either him and his friend or his friend and his wife if we're just trying to plan logistics. Like, we always try to have things be protected, basically. Like, you don't want anything to go in a direction that it doesn't need to go. And so by including one of the other spouses on there, you know that whether intentions were there or not, you are protected.
Good point.
Yeah.
So good.
I know. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." I just think that's a great verse to kind of sum up that live wisely and be pure. Okay, next category, and this is one that Sandra is so good at. I think I've said that probably, or at least thought that for every topic that we've come to, but home management. She sets the bar high on this one. But caring for your home can be time-consuming, whether you're a young adult living at home and just have your own little room, if you're a newlywed or a mom with a house full of kids. So, Sandra, what tips do you have to managing your home without becoming obsessive or overwhelmed?
Well, I'm a big believer in making my home run simply. Much to my, poor Doug's chagrin, I weed out things we don't need or use. Everything has a home. I know my grandkids even hear that. Everything has a home. So when my kids would ask where the scissors were, I would say it's in its home because hopefully they put it back where in its home. But I like to apply the 20-minute rule. Work hard for 20 minutes to clean an area every day. You see, we are stewards not only of money, but of our homes and our time. So don't be afraid to involve your children in the cleaning process. You are teaching them responsibility. And I was a big one on making charts, having goals, giving rewards, making it fun. And again, we're setting a good example.
Yeah, Sandra is not blowing smoke here, ladies. She actually does these things. And you can tell when you walk into her house, it's impeccable and she makes it look easy. I'm not trying to live up to a standard or anything.
No.
But I know because Matt grew up in this type of home that he knows that he likes that. A tidy home is important to him. Visual noise is stressful. And even though this doesn't come naturally for me, over the years as a sign of respect, I have made this a priority. And it does get more challenging as your children make more messes. And so I think what Sandra says, our mess creators can also be our mess cleaners. I'm embracing that. I'm claiming that. And I'm still working on that. So I solicit Sandra all the time as Mary Poppins to come over and help me because I have a messy one. I'm not going to name names, but we're still working on that. Everything has a place
in
the business.
I love to come over.
She does.
I really do.
And I love to come over and help. I really do. It's really fun. And we can make it fun and laugh at each other as we're throwing things in the trash.
Yes. And I think that maybe that might be a tip too. Sometimes you just need to outsource to someone else who can help your children purge when they are hoarders. Especially if the mom has hoarder tendencies too. I like to keep things as well. So my child and I sometimes aren't a great mix, so we solicit Sandra. Okay, verse 5 wraps us up with be kind and submissive. Okay, Sandra, you are a strong, independent, and opinionated woman. So what advice do you have for those of us who want to be kind and submissive in our marriages but also want to have a voice? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, of course.
This has been a real struggle for me, to be honest with you. I'm from a generation that taught women to assert ourselves. In my 20s and my 30s, I was insecure, I was prideful, and I wanted to be heard. And then in my 40s, 50s, and now 60s, oh dear, I can't believe I'm saying that, I'm learning to become softer. I don't want to be so independent. I want to speak life into my husband with words of affirmation. I want to rest under Doug's wing of protection for me. I want to truly be thankful for him and his strengths. I think it is so important to choose our words wisely and to pray about our timing of when to discuss certain things or concerns. I often ask myself, is my home a safe place that we can share our true feelings? This takes a lot of patience and a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also good. I'm just going to focus on that part that you said, I get better with each decade. So I'm hoping that's the case. So we're running short on time. I wanted to start to wrap a bow on this podcast. For those seasoned women listening, what have you specifically done to make yourself available as a mentor? And how have you initiated those relationships?
This can be done in so many different ways. I like to, right now, send texts with encouraging words. Mm-hmm. And then after, sometimes when I'm in a group of people, I try to reach out to them or to someone in the group and share a verse or let them know I appreciated what they say. Or sometimes I've even written a small little note and mailed it. Do you remember snail mail?
Yes,
and
so
just
fun.
Let them know that I was listening and that I was hearing what they were saying and that I am praying for them and I do want to encourage them in their walk.
Yeah, I think that's so good. She's almost like setting out a little bait for for some of the younger women who may want that guidance and need that mentorship but aren't bold enough to go ask for it. You're kind of, as a seasoned woman, offering that on a little platter and seeing if they want to take it. If they do, great, and they want to like reciprocate. If not, it was still a blessing to them just in that simple communication. So I think that that's just so great for the seasoned women to be looking for opportunities to do that. Okay, and younger women, I'm going to be talking to you right now. I still put myself in that category. I don't know if I still should be or not, but this may look different for us. If you're a mom, you are mentoring your children. You are encouraging them in their character and disciplining them through correction. But I also have some bad news for you. We aren't that young. We can't just live in that mentee category. There's always someone younger. We can make ourselves available by proactively reaching out, like Sandra said, to those younger girls. Or by asking them how we can be praying for them. Sometimes I feel like I barely have time for my family, let alone reaching out to others. But I think it can be as simple as sending an encouraging text, and that can speak so much and be empowering to them. If the Lord is leading you to do that, just be faithful and obedient and do it, because this could open the door for you becoming a mentor yourself. Okay, so we hope that this podcast challenged, encouraged, and motivated you to make a change in your life. My anchor, Sandra, gave you a little sneak preview of what that wisdom could look like by just spending 30, 40 minutes with a seasoned woman of faith. And just think about all that could impact that could have with the future generations. A Chinese proverb says the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago, but the second best time is now. So if mentorship has been a missing element in your life, that's okay. Start today. Pray about who can be an anchor in your life. Pray about who you can be an anchor for. And if you've already identified that person but haven't asked, be bold and pick up the phone and ask them if they can go out for coffee. It doesn't have to be this daunting, will you be my mentor experience? Yes. It takes humility to acknowledge that we don't have it all together. It takes bravery to reach out and receive counsel. Just think about the impact we could make if we all decided to apply Titus 2 and invest in the younger generations in an intentional way.
So good. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks for hanging with us, ladies.